escape to the metaverse. But act like you know, yeah. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Lizzo show, yeah. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Lizzo show, yeah. Hey everyone, before we begin this week's episode of the Matthew and Rizzle Show, just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Proof of Beauty. Proof of Beauty is an experimental digital experience studio. The blockchain is their canvas and the tokens are their brush. You can learn more about Proof of Beauty by checking out pob.studio. You can follow them on Twitter as well at prrfbeauty. That's PRRF Beauty on Twitter and pob.studio on their homepage to learn more about their projects like Hash, London, and Publico. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Thank you, Robot Lady.
No, I do not wish to be thanked.
Okay, here we go. So Paradox, Sir Paradox, welcome to the Matthew and Rizzle Show.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me.
Long time coming. I think this may be the last episode of the Whip series we're recording. Last but certainly not least, the relationship with Paradox goes back many, many eons, entails many IRL meetups, like multiple continents, multiple countries. It's really exciting. I'm really happy to be able to share this with the rest of the world. But before we get too deep, I think it would be great if you could introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about what you are, what you're doing today. But then more importantly, like the trail that you've taken to get to this point, like what brought you into crypto, NFT land and all that good stuff. Then we can take it from there.
Awesome. Where to start? I guess I'll say what I normally say at the Whip is like, hey, I'm Paradox. I'm the resident Whip videographer. I'll get back into a bit about what I do, but I tell you what, I want to tell you what I did this morning. I spent at least 20 minutes on the floor in my bathroom because I pulled my back. That was a fun, great start to the day. It's not relevant, but I thought you'd want to know. But let's go back a bit. Say again.
So thank you for making it to the computer from the floor.
It's fine. I'm on all the drugs right now. I'm happy. All right. Okay. So yeah, I'm a metaverse videographer. I got into crypto art and crypto in general back in like 2017. Lost a load of money as you do on all the ICO scams and all that. But kept going. You know, that's the main thing. And since then, I've done a lot of community work, and that has mostly been my focus. I could have stayed a crypto artist. But I didn't. I did all community stuff, and that's kind of where I am today. I can go into a lot more detail if you want, but that's me in a nutshell.
I would love to hear your sort of backstory on how we all came together, because I remember stumbling upon your art like very early on. I want to say on Scent, but I remember specifically there was like this piece of art that you made that was like some sort of like monster or creature like coming over a building. And I was like, oh, this is cool, man. And I was like, Paradox is like this like mysterious like monster dude or like, you know, whatever. And I was digging it, man. And then, dude, I don't even know like really it feels like so long ago how it all fell into place that you started doing these videos for us with the Whip and sort of fell into the fold with the community. But that was not like my initial intro to you like way back in the day. So can you talk about that period a little bit?
Hell yeah. I guess the first name I want to bring up is Metageist, which you guys know and love. For those of you who don't know, Metageist is a pretty prolific VR artist in the crypto sphere. And I've known Metageist pre-metaverse, so IRL. He doesn't live too far away from me in the UK. He sent me an email and he was like, dude, check out this metaverse crypto art thing. And that's where that began. And this is before I knew about any of the events or the communities. I jumped in and I was like, I want to make money selling art. I'm not really an artist, though. I know how to make videos. I know how to put, I guess, media together, because my background's TV film in the UK. So I hit up a friend of mine called Siege. He's an American artist. We used to play like a shit ton of video games together and stuff. And I sort of said, hey, I've got this concept, this idea for this kind of monster art thing. I want to do like a something like a backdrop is at a time lapse. So like it was like beautiful skies or buildings, that type of thing. I think I shot like a pretty high res time lapse in London in front of the National Gallery. That's probably the one you saw, Rizzle. But I went, I can't draw, not that type of art. So that's when I got in touch with him and we kind of threw some ideas around and we ended up landing on the cool kind of monster art thing. I threw that everywhere on Twitter, Scent. That's probably where you saw it first. I remember posting like 10 times on Scent about my piece of art because I was really, really proud of it. But for the longest time, it was weird. I kind of had imposter syndrome because I was on Super Rare and everyone's going, oh, Paradox, your art's amazing. And I was like, well, it's kind of my art. Kind of. So we did like an article. I think it was Super Rare's like first kind of written articles about artists, and that I kind of doxed myself about like who the other artist is and stuff. And yeah, we did a few pieces and some sold. I think one of them's owned by Max Osiris, which is kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, it was around about that time that I fell into like, I discovered CryptoVoxer, discovered Decentraland, all of those things, and started just joining in on communities. I guess what happened is I decided, kind of just naturally, I like this event stuff more than the art, like making the art, because I'm not a drawing artist. And I'll talk a little bit more about that specifically later and where what I want to do and where I want to go. But yeah, I was listening to your podcast. You know, it's like one of the very first educational things from people in the scene, that, and it's not like a big corporation telling you what the metaverse is. And yeah, so you guys taught me a lot. And then I started coming to the whip, of course. I think the biggest reason I wanted to join the whip crew, and I've told Dragon 8 this, it's because of Dragon 8. And that is because I got serious FOMO, because I hear like the hosts doing their thing and like artists talking about their work. And I was like, I really want to be involved. And then I saw Dragon 8 doing like all the audio stuff and all the Discord stuff. And I was like, well, I can be involved, but not from like a, like an artistic creation way. So yeah, thanks Dragon 8.
You're welcome.
But at the time, am I rambling? Am I okay?
No, keep going.
You're good, man. That's great.
What I was doing is I was experimenting in some parcels with a couple of friends that I met, and we were running our own like little events, which were, we were doing these things called gallery hops, which essentially is like a pub crawl. I think we spoke at the whip one time and advertised that. I think it's one of the only times I've spoke at the whip, but not being on the whip crew. And what I was doing is I was experimenting with like a multi-camera live streaming system. And I was like, I need to test this for my own events. What event can I jump in and film on the sly without them knowing? And I was like, what events do I know that's got a big crowd? There's that whip thing. So for the longest time, like I think it was like a good month or two, I was testing that camera system without telling you. And then in the end, I ended up sending Rizzle something. I was like, dude, check this out. And Rizzle was like, this is great. And then I think Matt, you in the end said, like, you do cool shit. Do you want to join? And yeah, that's kind of how I ended up at the whip. And since then I've been doing lots and lots of videos. We did whip moments back in the day, which were kind of like postcard gifts type thing. And I think they're NFTs, which was great. But yeah, my main role is video creation for the whip, like recaps and stuff. I've done like a shit ton of other events as well, but my main gig in the metaverse really is that my love is the whip. So yeah. That's kind of the history of how I joined the whip.
Yeah. I shared the old send post for the announcement of the whip where you're speaking at with like literally seven other people. Like, looking at the lineup. It's like,
seven other, like, fucking all-stars, man. I'm, like, looking at this thing that you posted. I'm like, holy shit, what a stacked lineup.
I mean, Josie was there. I mean, NBA Top Shot, Abby was there. Ness Nisla, Missal Simpson, Metageist, Jimmy. Like,
hell yeah.
we threw it down. And, well, to add a little bit more color, too, to, like, how you hopped on the whip. Like, you were with, I think it were called, like, Hive Muse or something like that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And
do you want to know a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. But I'm just, like, recounting when you reached out initially, you're talking about, you're with the Hive Muse crew. We hopped on, like, an in-world experience. I think I was talking with,
I forgot about that,
Future, one of the co-founders, and we just went on, like, a multi-hour kind of fly around in CryptoVoxels, like, shooting the philosophical breeze, thanks to your intro, and we're like, we got to lock something in. And I remember your pitch with Hive Muse was like, we have this stage, and we have, like, I don't know how many cameras you said, like, set up to kind of record it live action style. And I was just like, that is ridiculous. That's insane. We got to get you on. And that's when you were Crypto Paradox. This was before the rebranding, the shortening to Paradox even. And I remember going back to Rizzle and Jimmy, we were having like weekly check-ins or something about the whip and just mentioning like, dude, there's this new Paradox next level with how he wants to record things in world. Like, it's just fucking insane. And then shortly after that, you're like, I don't know what happened with Hive. I mean, maybe take it from here, but then yeah, the rest is history. Sure.
So the Hive was essentially just a group of guys that met in CryptoVoxels, and we just had, it was with Max and I forget the other guy's name. He's got a complicated name. So long ago now. All we wanted to do was connect people. So this was before they had free building spaces in CryptoVoxels. So what we would do is we would just speak to all the landowners that we could that had like tons of spaces, tons of parcels which weren't being built on, and just got building rights. The idea is that we would kind of manage those building rights completely free, just to, you know, in the spirit of getting more builders in. And that's why you still might see them today. There's these little Hive green and black flags scattered around CryptoVoxels. I mean, that's a little bit of history. Later on, CryptoVoxels then brought in like the free parcels you can build on and made it a little bit easier for people, like builders, to, you know, to do their thing. That whole Hive Muse started during lockdown, the first lockdown. And pretty much we were super on it during that time. But essentially, as soon as lockdown ended, we all got busy with work, and it didn't fall apart, but we just didn't have time for it. And I kind of transitioned to the whip because it was more of a, you know, once a week type thing, opposed to every day. But the idea was great behind the Hive Muse. That guy's name's Vax or Vaxavillian or something. Hang on, let me collect my thoughts. Sorry, Dragonate.
You should be.
We're talking about Muse. What was the other question you asked, Matt?
Dude, I got a follow-up for you along these lines anyway, man, because I feel like all this stuff plays together. Dude, I love your story, like, within the context of the whole space so much, man, because I feel like it's such a great, like, example of what you could do in the early days of Web3, and you're someone who like really manifested your own destiny within the space, man. And I love this story that you told me. I don't think I've ever like recapped this story that you told to me like a long time ago, but you said to me like a long time ago, you were like, dude, I just started calling myself like a metaverse videographer, and I just kept saying it, and then like, you know, you kept saying it, and other people kept saying it, and the whip crew kept saying it, and then like suddenly, you know, that is a thing. Like, you sort of, you know, created your own category, like your own like job description and category of things, like basically by saying like, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm doing, this is what I am. And then, like, you know, now this is, correct me if I'm wrong, like, pretty much what you do, you know, full time, because this is what you set out to do in the first place. So, can you speak to that, like, a little bit, man? I would just love to hear, like, your thought process and, like, you know, just sort of, like, you know, how that all manifested itself.
Sure. I mean, it all started as a hobby, right? Just something that was fun. And it really was. I mean, I had a full-time job at the time, before I started working for myself. And that was for, like, a video production company, in kind of rural England. And it was a good job, but, like, you know, when you're doing your hobby and you're at work and all you can think about is your hobbies. So yeah, I just, like, I would come home from work and I'd be straight on the metaverse, doing all the projects, all the things, doing events for people, all for free at that time. Just because I wanted to, because it was fun. So I guess what really happened is that I was getting so busy with all of this work that I was doing that it started occurring to me. It's like, hey, I could actually make a living off this, because I guess I wasn't, when I started out, I didn't set out to start out a company and make a shit ton of money and then kind of build the contacts by saying, hey, I'm a company that does this. People just knew me as the video guy. And as you said, I call myself a metaverse videographer. So yeah, I just slowly started getting more work. I mean, I had opportunities later down the line, which kind of really allowed me to quit my job, which I guess I'll talk about in a minute. But in that meantime, I just spent so much time working on so many events, and most of them were similar to the WIP, like gatherings of people, small events and stuff, and just kind of supporting people. I guess I'll talk about what I did next. The big kind of life changing point for my career and everything was I met Tubador, which you guys, I don't think it's Anand, who then went on to work for Metapurse. He worked at the WIP for a while. Am I right?
Yeah, he was one of the WIP crew for a good amount of time in the very beginning.
Yeah, he had some of those like amazing write-ups. Like he was the in-world journalist for the early days, especially documented in like beautifully written prose, like what was going on with the WIP.
Because I remember like sending sort of images and GIFs and all these bits to him. So it was amazing just work. Someone kind of on the peripherals, which we had no idea the kind of stuff he was going to go on to do. He was just a guy, like I was just a guy doing video, you know, Tubador was a guy doing some write-ups. But then we all had that big shock when we found out Tubador is now involved with like Metapurse, this you know, giant company with a lot of money in behind it. And then my big break came when Tubador said, dude, I love your work, of course. We've worked together a while. Do you want to work on this thing called the B20 event? And for those of you that kind of missed it or weren't around at that time, the B20 event was a Metapurse event where they took 20 Beeple pieces, original one of ones, they bought them all for a staggering amount of money, and then they fractionalized that them into, is it, I think it was like 10,000 NFTs or something like that. That event had pros and cons, but ultimately that was my first kind of big break into something much more I guess official, and I charged properly for that. And yeah, I built like a lot of contacts. Actually, no, it wasn't Tubador that asked me to do this. It was you, Matt. Yeah, you said, do you want to do it?
Yep.
Which was dope. And that's directly through working through the WIP. So, you know, turning a hobby into a paid gig, into something that changes your life was a pretty good feeling at the time. And I had no idea what was to come. And then following the B20 event, Metapurse decided that they were going to do something called the Metapurse Fellowship, which essentially was a like an arts grant, and they put it out for open applications, and I applied because I talked to Tubador about it and said, do you think I'm, you know, doing video, is that the kind of thing you want? He was like, dude, 100% apply. And then I did that. I went through this whole lengthy application process and I got accepted, and then afterwards Tubador was like, dude, you're always gonna get in. which was nice to hear. Shall I talk a little bit more about like that kind of stuff, or what do you reckon?
Yeah. Like, so after B20, that big sort of inflection point when it came to like being a metaverse videographer as like a side hustle, passion, like really fun thing to do, to being more like what you're doing professionally? Like what happened after B20? Like what projects have you been involved with? And then it feels like that's a nice segue to bring you to what you're doing, what you and Rizzle are doing now over at Mooniverse.
Yes. Okay. As I said, the main thing was the Metaverse Fellowship. And that was when I quit my job, which was a big step. It was scary because I had just bought a house like a month and a half ago. My partner was incredibly supportive and she could have said no. She was like, dude, like, we want to start a family. You know, we want to just bought a house. No, you cannot quit your job. But she did. And I'm eternally grateful for that. But I was able with the grant money to run like into an interview series, which was great. And I ran that with Metageist, going back to, you know, one of my oldest friends in the scene. And we interviewed people like Cody and Trevor Jones, like all sorts of people. So I got to know loads of the OGs and make... is there someone I'm missing? I don't know. Matt, we never...
Dude, I had to sweat through like 4 hours worth of tape deck at the meeting.
Oh, please tell that story, Rizzo.
Dude, I won't clog up your podcast with my story, although it does overlap. Yeah, so I forget. We were early on when you guys were doing that. It was the middle of a heat wave in the UK, and my AC was broke, and it was just like coincidentally... y'all were just sweating out this podcast on your side. It was a video interview and I was sweating on my side, and it was like a long conversation, not even in a bad way, but like Metageist and I just got to talking and talking. And so we got like 2.5 hours deep and just, you know, in the sweat bath, you know, great conversation. And come to find out that somehow the recording got goofed up on the back end and we had to do it all over again. And in the end of the day, I was like actually very relieved because, and I think Metageist was too, because no one wants to watch us sweat for 2.5 hours. We actually had a much tighter re-record the second time around. But yeah, good times, man.
And that was the first time I ever saw your face, which sounds odd to say. But yeah, I had no idea what you looked like before that.
Rizzle Docs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good times, but and I think that episode was definitely the better because we had a little bit more perspective on that. And I don't know. I mean, something I have not really mentioned during this interview, conversation, podcast thing. I put a lot of stock in documenting the metaverse, and it's something I just started doing, and I think it's really important. I think in 20, 30 years, people are going to look back and might see some of this stuff, and they'll think, "Oh my god, everything looked awful." But I think it's really important for someone to be keeping all like a record. And it's something I've been doing, and it's something I intend on keeping on doing for a long time. So yeah, there's that. Just kind of a couple of extra bits. So I won't take too much time with this, but a couple of something else I did for the Metaverse Fellowship is I ran something called Metaverse Cribs, which essentially, if you've ever seen MTV Cribs, it's that, but in the metaverse. And again, I got to chat to not just artists, but like builders, and to seeing all like showcasing their stuff and giving them a platform. So that was a lot of fun. So it just meant like all of this time I was talking to awesome people and like building my contacts without really thinking about it. Like I never thought I'm interviewing someone, you know, they're now a good contact. It was just like chatting shit and enjoying ourselves and making so many new friends, which is kind of the like a new age way of doing business, which like really resonates with me. But yeah, I reckon I've only got two more things to mention, like big things I've done. Like I did the Grow Your Base New Year's event in DCL with Rizzle, Easy. That was cool. And then I met you all at Dreamverse. That was the first time I met you. That was the Metaverse event in New York, which was amazing. And yeah, it's the first time we ever met, and my first time ever to America. So that was cool. It was a lot of fun. And now, what me and Rizzle are doing, we're both hanging out a lot in Mona, which is called the Monaverse.
So you found your way. So the only reason, not the only reason, man, I'm actually like, been talking to Moniverse for the better part of the year and really like their crew. But honestly, dude, what pushed me over the edge to start working, alongside of them to do, like, you know, fun metaverse stuff was that you were already there. And I was like, dude, if I can, like, you know, hop on a team that also involves Paradox and we can, like, you know, sort of coordinate to do fun metaverse stuff like we always have been, like, this is the dream, man. I'm like, now mooching off of your, like, metaverse videographer, you know, manifestation here. So talk a little bit about that, man. We've both had very good experiences up until this point, working alongside of them, and they've been supportive of the ideas that we've had. But like I said, man, you're the trailblazer here. So how did they buy into your vision?
Thanks again, Matt. It was actually Matt that put me in contact with Justin all that time ago. It's before they launched. Before they launched their beta, I think it was. I think essentially Matt said, "Hey, I've got this guy from this platform, and he just wants to chat to someone about like video needs and kind of like what you'd kind of want from video for different platforms in the metaverse." So that's how we met. And then following that, we did an interview for them with their three founders for the fellowship, which was great. And then a short while after that, they asked me, it's like, hey, do you want to do some like footage collection inside our worlds? Because we know you, his words, not mine, you're the best at recording like actual in-world footage. And I guess like at that point I had the most experience. So for a good couple of months, I would go into Mona and get really familiar with all the different spaces there and filmed all of their beauty footage and everything to be used in promos and adverts and all that stuff. And so I got to know the team, which is nice. And I guess it's important to mention that I'm freelance. So I don't work for Mona directly. It allows me kind of the flexibility to work on other projects if I want and do my own thing. But like currently Mona take up a lot of my time. But I really resonate with Mona because their staff are great and their ideas are great. And I think their general kind of direction, I don't know, it just feels right. So I'm really enjoying working with Mona right now. I'm doing a lot of their promos and the adverts and anything video related pretty much, which is awesome. I'd say right now they take up like 95% of my time, and I am so happy for that. And now Rizzle's on board, like doing a similar thing, like running his own things with Mona. That's just Rizzle, your words. Power team, or well, you said power couple, but not sure how I feel about that.
Power couple, so cute. You
yeah. What's
not to love about that? So Paradox, like big picture, man. I know we want to get into the things that you're looking forward to doing. As this whole thing fleshes out, but you've had a very interesting sort of viewpoint on a lot of things within this space and have sort of had the opportunity to be a fly on the wall at a lot of like huge events and seen the growth of the metaverse, like, you know, since its, you know, infancy. So I would just love to hear some of your like big picture takes, like on, you know, sort of state of the metaverse, like where we're at, like in the grand scheme of things, or just sort of like, you know, your observations, man. I feel like your perspective is completely unique as it relates to everything that's been going on.
That's a hard question. Let me think. I mean, I'll speak to, I guess, what I'm familiar with, which is video. I guess I've always been in a position where I generally don't speak to, you know, as to the whole state of the metaverse, because I guess I'm not really a speaker. I'm terrified of getting on stages and talking about the state of the metaverse. But from a video front, my opinion is video will never die. Video will evolve. I would love to see more. I don't know. More integration with, you know, like streaming and like live events inside the metaverse and having it documented properly, because I think it's the only way where normies, you know, people that aren't in the metaverse are going to learn. I think video is going to be their gateway. So I think we need more videographers, and we need more people, I guess, like myself, to kind of show non-metaverse people what we're doing and get people excited. Because when I came into the scene, I was gobsmacked that there was no one else doing video. I mean, you might get the occasional person do like a little video about, you know, what they're doing specifically, but I don't know. I saw a gap in the market and jumped in, but we need so many more videographers. And something Matt said ages ago, I think you were referencing not guilds. I think you might have said guilds. You were talking about like a videographer's guild or a DAO or something like that. Just like groups of people with the right intention. Yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's my ramble.
Yeah, I think before you, like the only other person that I remember, and they still do this periodically until today, like sharing recordings of what they're doing in world, is Jin.
Yes.
Right. Like he would always have the in world excursions. He'd take a couple folks and he'd record it, put it on social, but it was always very limited because it was a small group focus versus like what the WIP had been focused on and has been focused on in terms of like bringing in larger numbers into the world and documenting that and showing folks like what the hell is going on that front. And like you've just been so amazing in being able to not just capture and record it, but package it together like week in, week out and share that out and like Rizzle blasts it and everyone else just like cross amplifies it. It's just been just getting started, honestly. Like we still yet to kind of like hit critical mass on this side of the space. But what you're doing, it's going to be seminal when that tipping point is hit. Yeah. But all that's to say, just kind of really excited that both you and Rizzle have a home now in Moniverse, so that like everything that we have been doing, it just we have insurance that it's going to continue to be done. And again, I'm really excited for that next inflection point where we have that the spotlight of the world on this side of things, and that folks finally come into these virtual spaces more and more. And because of what you and Rizzle and everyone at Moniverse is doing, what everyone else in the space that's starting to do more in-world events is doing, like having these contexts for people to fall into, we'll be ready and waiting and quite excited for that next chapter personally. But specifically with you, Paradox, like, of course, you're at Moniverse with Rizzle right now, the power couple dynamic. But where do you see like the next year or so going? What are your kind of core focuses? And outside of Moniverse, are there any like ambitious, big, juicy projects that you want to sink your teeth into?
Yeah, I mean, these are all dream projects. I think it's important to have those. Whilst I do stuff like the WIP every week, and I've got, I guess, my day job, which is, you know, video in the metaverse, I'm kind of in the background working towards my own projects. The big one, which is probably like 90% done, is an art blocks drop. I'm working with one of my best friends here in the UK who just happens to be a super talented like programmer. In actual fact, he's in the room with me. He's sat working, which is great. I can't tell you too much about it because, you know, an alpha, but the working title is Metaverse Speedway. And it's inspired by those kind of like retro arcade game kind of video games with like a car as the main kind of centerpiece and then different like backgrounds and stuff. Yeah, we're working really hard to kind of get like a shit ton of like rare traits and make it all look really interesting and just generally be something that we think people are going to want to collect rather than just kicking out something quickly. You know, as like a project, like a PFP project, just for the money, you know, we've taken our time. That project actually, I signed up to the waiting list, the same day that, Artblocks spoke at the WIP, which is what, 2 years ago. So we've been working on versions of our Artblocks drops since then. So yes, we could have dropped something sooner, you know, for a quick load of money, but we don't want to do that. And yes, the timing could be better, and we could have, you know, got a lot more money, but that's not the point of doing it. The point is we want a decent product and something that really resonates with us. I do all of this metaverse stuff because it makes me feel proud, and it gives me self-worth, you know, not for the money. If I got into it for the money, I wouldn't have joined all the community projects. So as long as I've got enough money to live, I just want to do the fun stuff. So yeah, Artblocks project at some point soon. We'll see when that comes about, but like amazing progress. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys think. I think I've sent a couple of like super old screenshots, but that was a while ago now. But yeah, besides Artblocks, I'm actually getting back into my crypto art, or at least art. I am on Super Rare. I haven't released anything in probably like a year and a half, but I'm working on my own projects because I want to again. So that's awesome. And then I guess long-term goal, I want to start a video studio for crypto art, like hire a couple of like animators and people and like just make cool shit. I don't care if we don't make any money as long as we cover costs, just to make some awesome stuff for the metaverse. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm working towards.
Dude. Love to hear it, man. I mean, you know, I appreciate it as someone who's like, you know, been along for this ride with you for a large chunk of the way. Dude, before we like move on and sort of close things out here, man, there's a couple times across this podcast that you've mentioned history and like documenting history. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of wanted to scratch at that a little bit, man. And we had referenced Art by MLO before the podcast, who's also like, as you know, a big metaverse history buff. But can you speak to why you feel like that's important and just sort of your process or thoughts on documenting it?
Yeah. I mean, it's something I fell into by accident. You know, I originally, when I got into this scene, I didn't set out to document the metaverse. It just kind of happened. And as I fell in love with the metaverse and everything that's going on, I just thought it was an absolute waste that a lot of these awesome things are happening and no one sees them, or at least there's no opportunity to see them ever again. So, I mean, there is no grand vision for doing anything with this footage, you know, besides putting it online. It's just from a kind of personal kind of wish to make sure these things are seen. There's plenty of pictures in, you know, history books which weren't taken by super professional photographers, but, you know, eventually they become really important, you know, relics. So I'd like maybe one day for some of these things, that bits like, you know, shots from the whip, shots from smaller events that seem insignificant at the time, but eventually become something really important. And my opinion is, if I don't capture it now, I will never have the opportunity to ever again. So I would rather do it than not.
I love that. No, that's great. I'm super excited for this more like self-referential kind of conscious recording of not just like the history at this current point, but what's happened before us, not just by yourself, but many other artists, right? Like we had like Eleonora Brizzi and like the NFT magazine's recent release. We had Panther Cheetah, like the crypto art history triptych release, everything that you've been doing up until this point. I mean, even throwing back to Tubador, aka Nand, when they were like the in-world journalists at the Whip, like documenting those episodes, those mini morsels of history that I read back on and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy. Like we decided to do this, and combining the written storytelling with your visual storytelling, it's something really special, and it's not really existed in the world up until now in this sort of comprehensive way, in my personal opinion, maybe biased and maybe like totally forgetting a large chunk of certain types of history, but I don't know. I think what we've been doing is quite special, and just really personally, really happy to have been doing it with everyone in the Whip crew.
Yeah. And if nothing else, there's nostalgia, and also showing our kids what we're doing right now will be a really special thing. And they'll laugh at us. They'll be like, what is this horrible crypto voxels looking thing when they've all got like holograms and AR and all this stuff. So yeah, it doesn't always have to be a grand reasons. You know, we do it because it will make us happy, and I think that's fine.
Dude, I agree, man. I mean, you know, I agree. That's always been the mantra. But I also believe that, you know, these early days are important, and I'm very appreciative that there was someone like you to take it upon yourself to like capture the importance of that for the exact reasons that you discuss, you know, just to preserve this great time that we've all experienced together. Dude, I would, you know, we do the shakedown at the end of the podcast, man. I would love to shake you down and see what's in the other power couple's, you know, crypto wallet. What do you like, man? What have you been collecting anything lately? Is there anything out there, you know, completely unrelated to the stuff that you're normally involved in that you've been checking out?
Here's a somewhat controversial opinion. I don't collect a lot. I do occasionally, and I've partaked in, like, you know, PFP projects and stuff, and I do collect a little bit of art, but for the most part, I don't tend to, and maybe that's very different from most other people in the scene. I appreciate art, but I have a problem when it comes to art that I kind of like when you're choosing a tattoo. I cannot ever land on deciding if I should buy it or not, so I generally don't. And yeah, that kind of sucks. But I guess I'm not a collector because it comes down to, like, I guess the experiences are more important to me than the collectibles. And that's okay for me. I bet you're thinking, like, you don't collect much in the scene. That's crazy. But I imagine there are more people out there like me. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Whoa.
Open your wallet. I know there's on-chain chains.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. Lest people misunderstand. I think we have nothing in your wallet. Like,
oh, I have hundreds of things. Okay, right. Let's do this thing. Hang on, Dragon 8. Let's not read out my password out loud.
Imagine Paradox trying to be like the last Whip Crew member, like, out of here and, like, totally skirt the shakedown. No, man.
All right, cool. Let's have a look. I'm going to copy this and I'm going to go to OpenSea. I mean, I will say I got a Beeple, which is nice. I collected that when, back when it was so cheap. That was nice. That's probably my prize piece. Right. Let's have a look. Oh, okay. You know what? One thing the top things on my list, right now are I got some rare gotchies, which, oh my God, I cannot wait for those to be posted out. It's like, if you guys, have you seen this? It's like a Tamagotchi type thing.
Yeah, man. I got a few rare gotchies.
Yeah, it's so dope. And I think, you know what? I think the thing, the item in my wallet that I guess I'm most proud of, is a piece. Where is it? A piece by Skeeny. I love Skeeny. He's great. And it's a toucan skeleton. And it's all like kind of anatomical kind of drawing, but with some bright colors. It's absolutely beautiful, and he sent me some prints for it as well.
Dude, I think I have that as well. Yeah.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Because I saw you post that, and then he sent me a couple of different ones. It's amazing. I also recently collected movie shots. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. It's Run Lola Run, and they're kind of still frames from that movie, and they're kind of not fractionalized, but yeah, they took a curated certain amount of shots from that movie and turn them all into NFTs. It's all done with, like, it's all run by the correct studios and everything, and it's all above board. And I just think that in terms of bringing it back to kind of video is, like, super important. And I really love that idea of, like, movie collectibles. I think that whole kind of scene is in its infancy, and we've yet to see what will come of that. But, like, that's a part of history, and I think it's the first one that I know about. Plus, I love the team behind it. And then a shit ton of wearables. Oh my God. Like, probably hundreds and hundreds. You guys are probably the same. Yeah.
How could you not?
I guess I don't see that as collecting art, because again, that falls into the experience, if that makes sense. But it is a collectible, so yeah.
Oh yeah, movie shots. I mean, they were on the Whip, Rare Gotchi crew. I mean, of course, like NFT Studios on the Whip. Sounds like you've just collected everything that's, like, popped on the Whip. That is, they seem pretty cool. So I love that. actually. Then you have that upcoming ArtBlocks drop. Like, and I wanted to go back there real quick. So the upcoming ArtBlocks drop, that's been in motion since Snowfro was on the whip to announce ArtBlocks and giving out those beta squiggles. Is that when you approached or signed up for a drop on ArtBlocks? Is that right?
That was when they said, jump on the list now. And a long time ago. And they said that they were like, oh, well, there's probably like a really long waiting list, probably like, you know, 2-3 months. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. I mean, I think the waiting list to get on Curated now is a lot longer than that. At one point during like the peak of last year, I think the waiting list was like a year. So my point is, I'm at the top of that waiting list. So this project, in theory, can go out as soon as we're ready. Obviously subject to curation, and it might not make it onto Curated, but we'll see. I have high hopes for that.
I love those little mini episodes of history. I love to hear that, man. And I just love personally to hear the whole story. I'm really excited to share this and release this. We're going to push this out tomorrow, just FYI. Sweet. But before we jump off, let people know where they can follow you in the metaverse. Give them the handles, the links, the URLs.
So the main one is my Twitter. Everyone screams at me that I'm not on Instagram, but I don't know. I live on Twitter. I'm paradox.eth, and that's at paradox_media. I'm also on Discord, but you can, if you really want to find me, hit me up on Twitter is the main one. And then if you go to YouTube, you can search the kind of stuff I've done, search for Metanauts. That's the channel with myself and, Metageist. That's, me in a nutshell.
I love it, man.
Amazing.
I just want to thank you once again for jumping on the show with Rizzo and myself, and just for being member of the Whip Crew and holding it down week in, week out, and just being such a good friend, a metaverse friend, and then thankfully in real life friends, having met up multiple times, man. Really excited for everything that we've yet to do, everything that the power couple, you and Rizzle, are bound to do at Mooniverse, and all the good stuff in the greater metaverse. So just thank you so much, bro, and keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. It's been a wild ride. But yeah, cheers, guys. Here's to many more years. Also, thanks, Dragonate, for editing this. And say hi to your mum for me.
Shout out, Dragonate, and Dragonate's mom. Dude, yes, cheers, man. It's been a great ride along with both of y'all, honestly. And I hope to continue to do this for many more years as well. So thank you, man. It's been great to have you on.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
There you go.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Proof of Beauty. Proof of Beauty is an experimental digital experience studio. The blockchain is their canvas and the tokens are their brush. You can learn more about Proof of Beauty by checking out pob.studio. You can follow them on Twitter as well at PRRFBeauty. That's PRRF. Beauty on Twitter and pob.studio on their homepage to learn more about their projects like Hash, London, and Publico. Thank you, and see you in the next episode.